Good evening, everybody. Welcome you all to Midweek Service again, another time of studying the Word of God together. We're taking a series on the Spirit's giftings, and I believe this is the fourth Wednesday that we'll be going through that. We've done a few, had an introduction, and then looked at the gift of apostleship, and then last week we looked at the gift of prophecy. And now we're moving into the gifts of teaching and pastoring. I'd said that we should look at these two gifts together because I really believe that they are linked, scripturally. In the original Greek language, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, I'll just read out that verse of scripture to us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Don't forget, it's Bible study, so you should always have your Bible with you. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. In this Bible study, I'll probably be interchanging between the KJV and the NIV versions. Normally, I really study and read my Bible, usually, basically, in the KJV. But sometimes I then go to other versions, either when I'm speaking publicly or sharing with other people, just for the ease of reading. But I'm going back to the original language, right? And he gave some apostles and some prophets. This is Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And, I belong to the school that believes that this phrase, pastors and teachers, links these two sets of people together, and indicating that a true pastor will also be able to teach or feed the flock, and a true teacher should have pastoral abilities, right? I know that these qualities or these gifts may be expressed in various degrees in different individuals, but I believe that the link between teaching and pastoring is inevitable for anyone who wants to be effective in preaching the Word of God, okay? And so I think we should just look at both of these gifts together. So we'll start with teaching. If you look closely at Romans chapter 12 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, Ephesians 4, 11 that we read, we will see this use of the word teaching, right, or teacher. I looked again at the New Testament, and the word teaching is used 24 times in the New Testament, while teacher is used 13 times in the New Testament. I checked the Strong's Bible Dictionary for definitions, and teaching is defined as holding a discourse, to hold discourse with others in order to instruct them, to explain or to expound a thing. And then a teacher is defined as one who undertook the work of teaching with the special assistance of the Holy Spirit. I like that definition. There were other definitions, but I like this. One who undertakes the work of teaching with the special assistance of the Holy Spirit. And so if I were to give a definition of the spiritual gift teaching, I would say that teaching is the ability to understand and communicate the truth of the Word of God with clarity, or the ability to clearly explain and effectively apply the truths of God's Word so that others will learn. And it's important to point out that although all believers have the capacity by the Holy Spirit to receive divine revelation, as we had seen earlier when we talked about the Holy Spirit as our teacher, but not all of us have the same gift in communicating this truth to others. And we find several examples in Scripture. Let us open our Bibles to Acts chapter 15 as we read a few verses of Scripture together. Acts chapter 15. Verse 35. Acts 15:35. It says, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. With many others also. You can also look at Acts chapter 18. Look at Acts chapter 18. So in Acts 15, we see Paul and Barnabas with many others staying in Antioch and teaching. Teaching the word of God. Look at Acts chapter 18. It should be about verse 11. Yeah. Again, speaking about Paul, he says, "And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." Here we find Paul in Corinth, staying in Corinth for 18 months, teaching the word of God among them. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Let's look at another thing there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Paul writing to Timothy, he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And then let's look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul writing, he says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Whether by word or our epistle. I want you to note there in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15, Paul was saying that he had taught them some things by word. That means in person when he spoke with them, or by epistle when he wrote to them. When he wrote to them. Just note that, because that is very key in something I'm going to share later. And so this kind of teaching, you know, I was saying last week, what's the difference between prophecy and teaching? And this is it. This kind of teaching is different from the spontaneous revelation of prophecy. And in fact, in the early church, it was based on the Old Testament scriptures, the teachings of Jesus, and the teachings of the apostles. And essentially, it is the repetition and explanation of authentic divine truth. Authentic divine truth. Truth. Now, the teaching gift does not necessarily require superior knowledge. No, it doesn't mean that the best teacher is the most knowledgeable. No. However, the teaching gift requires the capacity for successful communication and application of the truth to the individual. It means that anyone with the teaching gift will have a capacity to accurately interpret scripture, to engage in research, organize the results in a way that is easily communicated. And usually people who have this gift are characterized by a great desire to study the word and to teach in different forms. It's important to note that the spiritual gift of teaching is different from oratory. It's different from oratory. Oratory is skill or eloquence in public speaking, especially in a formal way or in a formal manner. But the gift of teaching, the spiritual gift of teaching, is especially adaptable to teaching the word of God. And so it is possible that we may find people who are good orators but will not necessarily be effective in teaching the word of God. So it's important to make that distinction. And the other difference is that oratory is a latent talent that is present from birth. But you know, as we stated or as we defined at the beginning of this section on the Spirit's gifting, spiritual gifts are not natural talents. Rather, they are bestowed by the Holy Spirit. If I use myself as an example, I wasn't born with a natural talent of oratory. In fact, I was a shy, lanky chap. And so when I think of myself doing what I do now as someone who teaches, For me, it's a personal testimony of the enablement of the Holy Spirit. And I know many other people in this same category as well. And so I'm not just talking about the ability to just speak and speak and speak. Some people are born that way. But the spiritual gift of teaching is the ability that the Holy Spirit endows, bestows upon a person, where this person is able to understand and communicate the word of God with clarity. Teaching is also different from the gift of exhortation, but you know, we will look at the gift of exhortation next week. They are both communicating gifts, but there's a difference. Just like teaching is different from prophecy, teaching is also different from exhortation. Finally, regarding this gift of teaching today, I must let us know. Like, you don't have to be a pastor in your church to be able to utilize this gift of teaching. If you have it, you can teach in a house fellowship. You can teach in a home cell. You can teach your friends. You can teach your colleagues. You can teach in children's church. You can teach in youth ministries. And in fact, you can even express your teaching gift through writing. Don't forget, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul taught the Thessalonians and many other people through writing. And so you can express your teaching gift by writing articles, posts, and books. Let's quickly look at the gift of pastoring. We read Ephesians 4 and verse 11 before. When it comes to the word pastor, if you have a KJV Bible and you can do a search, you will find out that the word pastor is only found once in the New Testament in the KJV version. And the first time I realized that, it felt kind of strange to me, considering that the word pastor is one that we very commonly use in contemporary Christianity. When I did a further search, I found out that that word translated pastor in Ephesians 4:11 is the Greek word poimen. But you see, that word is found 16 other times in the New Testament and is translated as shepherd. Shepherd. For instance, in John chapter 10, where Jesus spoke about him being the good shepherd, this is the word that was used. Let's read a few verses in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We're talking at this point about pastoring. John chapter 10. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's the word pastor. Verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. But the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Then look at verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's the same word that's translated pastor. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That great shepherd of the sheep, again, that's the word translated pastor. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. It says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Again, that's the word translated pastor. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 5. I really like this portion. From verse 1, it says, the elders which are among you, I exhort who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now look at verse 2. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you. That word feed is actually the verb for pastor. You know, you can use the word pastor as a noun describing a person, or you can use it as a verb describing what the person does, right? So you could have translated this word pastor the flock, or you could have said shepherd the flock, and you'll see how this makes sense. It says pastor or shepherd the flock of God among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over them, God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So actually, in this sequence of verses, Peter is describing elders and leaders in the church as under shepherds to the chief shepherd. And so he says, shepherd the flock, pastor the flock, because there's a chief pastor, there's a chief shepherd who is over and above, who when he shall appear, you shall then receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so if I were to give a definition for pastoring, I would simply say it's the ability to shepherd, to provide for, to care for, and to protect God's people. It's a spirit-given capacity and desire to oversee, to train, and to care for the needs of a group of Christians. People with this gift of pastoring have a special passion and empowering to lead people, to steer them away from danger, to fight off predators, and to bind up wounds just like shepherds. I must make this statement now. It appears that people with this gift of pastoring usually would have companion gifts of teaching, or leadership, administration, or exhortation. And just like for the gift of teaching, the gift of pastoring can be used in many positions in a church. You don't have to hold the position or the title of a pastor to use your gift of pastoring. People with this gift of pastoring could serve as small group leaders, e.g. in our home cells. You could be a home cell leader. You could be a unit head in a church. You could be a pastor. You could be an assistant pastor. You could be leading in a special ministry like youth ministry, children's ministry, men's ministry, or even women's ministry. So don't forget, it's about the ability that the person possesses and not the role or the title that the person functions in. No, not about the role that the person is appointed in or the title that the person wears. It's actually about the ability that the Holy Spirit gives. We'll continue again next week.